Good evening. We're going to call our city council to order for October 26th. Appreciate you being here. Our first order of business will be our invocation, and that is from Pastor Grant Reeder, but I don't see him.
If I could do roll call first, though.
Oh, thanks, Betty.
Councilmember Chavez, we have, is absent. Councilmember Lilburn?
Yes, here.
Councilmember McCallum?
Here.
Councilmember Solano?
Present.
Councilmember Timmer?
Here.
Okay, back to the no pastor.
You're correct. I don't see him out here.
Do you want to go give our invocation? Okay, and then after our invocation led by Larry McCallum, we'll have our Pledge of Allegiance led by Anna Ellie.
Please join me as we pray. Is that the pastor? Okay. Lord God Almighty, we are so grateful for all of the blessings that you give us every day and for the fact that we live in this great city, and ask for your continued blessing on our city and on our staff and on our police and on our fire personnel. Keep them all safe and bring them home safely to their families. Bless their families who are worried, I'm sure, that they put themselves in danger every day to serve us. Lord, we ask that you be with this meeting tonight, that you guide and direct us, and that the decisions we make here will be pleasing to you and will bring glory to your name. And I pray this in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Right now we're going to go straight into a public hearing. At this time, I'd like to open the public hearing, and I'm going to turn it over to Betty for our staff presentation.
All right, thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. This is the second public hearing of the four required by law. Tonight, you will receive a report from Todd Tatum of National Demographics Corporation regarding the process and permissible criteria to be considered to redraw district boundaries. Second, discuss neighborhoods and communities of interest, as well as receive public input on district boundaries. As stated in the staff report, a neighborhood describes a geographic location. Are there any neighborhoods defined by clear boundaries? Obviously, we know the freeway is a clear boundary, which is on the east side of District 3, the west side of District 4. A community of interest is a population that shares common social or economic interests that should be included within a single district for purposes of its effective and fair representation. It should be noted that a community of interest does not include and cannot be based on relationships with political parties, incumbents, or political candidates. Possible features defining communities of interest might include, but are not limited to, school attendance areas or homeowners association, common issues, neighborhood activities, recreational interests, or shared environmental concerns, and shared demographic characteristics such as similar levels of income, education, or linguistic isolation, languages spoken at home, or single family and multifamily housing unit areas. We know there's the East Highlands Ranch Homeowners Association, predominantly in District 5. So while we listen to Todd's presentation, I would like council to think, are there any other neighborhoods or communities that you would like to be identified? So with that said, if there's no other questions, I will turn this over to Todd Tatum of National Demographics. We can't hear, so probably unmute.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members, city staff. Again, as Betty alluded to, this is our second of our four hearings. Our next hearing will be January 11th and the final hearing February 22nd. Our deadline for adoption is April 17th, 2022. The major challenge that we had this year, and I talked about this in the first meeting, was getting the U.S. Census data in. It came in mid-August. We then had to wait for the state of California to review the data and produce the prisoner adjusted numbers, which were released on September 21st. However, there was a flaw in the data, and the corrected numbers were not released by the state until September 27th. I'll briefly go over some of our redistricting rules and goals that we covered last time. Number one, we follow these three categories, the first category being the federal laws. We have to adhere to all the federal laws, which means equal population. We follow the Federal Voting Rights Act. We can have no racial gerrymandering as we draw districts. The second category is the California criteria for cities, and these are ranked in order, which is new, thanks to the California Voting Rights Act this year. Number one, the districts must be geographically contiguous, and that is where to the extent practicable. Number two, we try not to undivide neighborhoods or communities of interest. We try to keep socioeconomic geographic areas that should be kept together, and we do our best to keep those together. We also look to make sure that the districts have easily identifiable boundaries, and we want to keep the districts as compact as possible, meaning we don't want to bypass one group of people to get a more distant group of people together. And what is prohibited, we shall not favor or discriminate against any political party. And as you'll see on any data that NDC produces, we show no political party affiliation whatsoever. The third traditional districting principles, we want to minimize voters shifted into different election years, meaning if a voter believes right at this moment that they get to vote in 2022, we want to do our best to make sure they can stay in that district where they vote on 2022 versus moving to a new district that might be 2 years out. We want to respect the voters' choices and continuity in office. We look for future population growth, and I know this question came up last time in our first meeting. We don't count that in drawing the districts. We just like to know where that might be so we can let you know if a certain district may look different, completely different in 10 years. And we want to preserve the core of your existing districts the best that we can, especially if you all are happy with them. Here's a demographic summary of the existing districts. And again, this is based on just our estimates. We have not loaded in the state adjusted demographics. And what you can see is if you go across the line there, the deviation in the districts is 6.76%. The deviation needs to be 10% or less. So basically looking now, you all look like you have balanced districts. And if that is the case, when we get the final state numbers, the city council could direct the city clerk to come back at the next meeting with a resolution that formally decides to keep the existing district map if you want no changes. Otherwise, each district should have roughly 11,400 people. And as you can see across, there's one that's a little light and there's one that's a little heavy, but again, that deviation is under 10% and could be less once we get the final numbers in. Last time we talked about defining neighborhoods, what your neighborhoods are, what are those geographical boundaries. We really need you and the public to let us know if we do redraw districts, what are your natural neighborhood dividing lines, maybe highways, major roads, drainage areas, hills, any areas around parks or schools, or any other neighborhood landmarks that might be unique to the city of Highland. And if we don't have any public testimony and we do in fact have to make changes, then we go off planning records or other similar documents that might help us. Beyond the neighborhoods, we want to define the communities of interest. Those communities of interest, we ask this first of all, because the law requires us to, and second, we want to emphasize that if we do have to make any changes in your districts to get them into balance, we want to know the best places to make those adjustments. and we want to do what we can to prevent the dividing of a neighborhood or community of interest. The community of interest is defined, and Betty mentioned this before, as a population that shares common social or economic interest and what you believe should be included within a single district for purposes of effective and fair representation. However, a community of interest could also believe that it should be in multiple districts, and that's where we need your input. We're going to ask tonight, should we have to make those changes, and we need to define the communities of interest, we want to know who's a part of your community. What are some meaningful places your community recognizes or gathers at? Which means, you know, if some of the public consider themselves a community of interest because they all use the same park, for example, or they're all part of the same HOA or master plan community, those are the meaningful places where they recognize and or gather at. We also want to know, what are some common concerns that you share with a group? What are some common cultural characteristics that unite a community? What are common work-related traits that bring a community together? What is significant about the physical environment of your community? And what areas benefit from staying together in one single district? Your thoughts and ideas will become part of the record and will be recorded and written down and taken into consideration as we draft maps. When we draft maps, the public, as well as you, will be able to use this online interactive review map, which basically allows you to take any draft maps that have been submitted. We will have them, in the dedicated part of your website where people can go in and see how their map compares to others, how it compares to the existing map. You can do multiple maps and check them this way. It's just a great tool so that you can see where everything falls as far as population and demographics. So again, a timeline for our redistricting process. We had our first public hearing in August, our second one today, October 26th. All the mapping software basically is being populated so that it can be released. Again, that was delayed and it should be out within the next week or two. If we are drawing maps for the third public hearing, we would need maps due from the public January 3rd for consideration. February 14th, we would need them for consideration for the February 22nd. And again, if the numbers come back and you are basically where you are today, it is up to you all, but you can recommend that we keep the districts as is. Because at first look, it does not look like there are any California voting rights violations based on your current districts. I will know that for sure as soon as we have all the data populated within your current district maps. And I will let Betty know as soon as we have that and what it looks like. And with that, I'm here to answer any questions. And again, I thank you all for the opportunity to make this presentation and for allowing NDC to work with you all during this process.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your presentation. Okay, we'll take it back. Betty, do we have any speakers in favor of or in opposition of this item?
No, we don't.
Okay. I'll take it back, and I guess at this time, Betty, do you have any additional information you want to add?
I don't, unless council has any questions.
Okay. I'll go ahead and close the public hearing and open it up for the council for questions to Betty or any comments. Larry?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Question is, when can we legally decide that we're going to keep them like they are and move this process along?
I may have to defer that to Maricela. I do know, or I do believe, the public has to be able to draw maps regardless of what. If we continue forward with the process, so maybe Maricela, if you don't mind.
That's correct. So sorry about that. The public has to be given an opportunity. But we could, nonetheless, decide. I believe at the third public hearing, we would be able to, and I believe, at that point in time.
The third one's next in November.
In January. January. Yeah.
No.
So by that time, we'll have enough data to know whether or not it makes sense. But the public could still come at the fourth meeting with further opportunities.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. At this time, do we need to move this forward, or do we need to vote on anything, or just accept the report?
Just accept the report, and then just any comments that were made.
Okay. All right. And you have that down for the record?
We do.
Okay.
We do.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Okay. We'll
have a good evening.
Thank you. At this time, we have no report for closed session, so I'll move on. We have no special presentations at this time, and I'll move on to our public comment, and I have one public comment speaker. Betty, do you have any via email?
No, I don't.
Okay. Our public comment, Lewis? I know I murdered your last name last time, so I...
Ojeda.
Ojeda.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. Well, last time I was here because of an issue that I have with code enforcement in regards of a storage container. So this morning I had a meeting with the gentleman by name of Larry, I believe.
Larry Mines.
Yes. So we have a very spirited conversation, and I think it was productive in a way. The only thing that I got is that I had to move my container in 2 months, which I'm okay with it. So the only thing that I did after I left, I drove around and I spoke with 11 different property owners that they have containers at their location. And I'm not gonna give names or addresses. And I spoke with them and I told them, you know, in one property I counted like 30 containers, like 15 trailers. And I said, have you ever had any issues with code enforcement? No. Nope. So out of the 11, only one person had issues with code enforcement. And he was going to come here today, but he couldn't make it. He's going to be coming with me next time you have a meeting. So, but in regards to that, so I was in the meeting that we have this morning, it was brought to my attention that we can change the ordinance. We can do some things to, you know, update what we have in the books right now. And I know that, you know, warehouses are coming to the city, right? And with warehouses come trucks, come repair trucks, come different industry that follows the logistic industry. And we can be reactive or proactive, okay? So, and I think it was good that I came today because it just went beyond my storage container. It's how we're gonna plan for the future. How are we gonna plan for when the warehouses are, you know, open up and they're gonna bring the truck traffic. And so like right now, Ontario, Fontana, Rancho, Rialto, they're all having the same issue. Why? Because nowadays the warehouses, they wanna utilize as much as they can in the space to store merchandise, and they don't leave any room for trucks. And you already seen it in this city, how you have trucks parking on the side of the street, on Fifth or maybe on Third. And I think that it's gonna be a conversation that we need to have. And, you know, I'm aware that you guys are in the work of changing the zoning for that area. But in the meantime, what do we do? Do we wait, or we just trying to use code enforcement? And so that's something that, I mean, I started talking to my neighbors right now, to the property owners around my area, and some people, they're not even aware.
3 minutes.
What's coming. So, all right, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr.
And I hope I have the opportunity to speak with all of you council members. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming by. Okay, we'll move on to our consent calendar. Any items to be pulled?
I've received no requests to pull any items.
Okay, thank you.
I'll move for approval.
We have a motion for approval.
Second.
And a second. Roll call.
Councilmember Lilburn?
Yes.
Councilmember McCallum?
Yes.
Councilmember Solano?
Yes.
Councilmember Timmer?
Yes.
Thank you. At this time, we have no additional public hearings, so I'll move on to our legislative portion. Item number 5, the pavement management program, and I'm assuming Carlos?
Yes, thank you. Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, that was a good guess. So this item before you is the bid award for the Sector E Pavement Rehabilitation Project. This is the last phase of the 5-year pavement management program that was previously approved by the City Council. So this project includes a rehabilitation of 25 segments, approximately 3.6 miles, as shown on page 3 of your staff report. So if you wanted to look at those 25 segments and where they are, you can see those on the location map for your reference. Four bids were received and opened October the 7th. Two of the bids that we received had errors in them. The two bids that had errors was All American Asphalt and Sequel Contractors, Inc. However, the errors from the two bids did not change All American Asphalt from being the lowest bidder. So what ended up happening, in fact, was that All American Asphalt's bid was actually lowered by approximately $16,000. So their corrected bid amount for the project was $2,082,099. The engineer's estimate for this project is $2,185,000. So I think we got good bids. So therefore, staff is recommending the award of this project to the lowest responsible bidder, All American Asphalt. They have done other work here in the city, and they've done a good job. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Carlos. Appreciate that presentation. Any questions from the council for Carlos on this item?
I do.
Yes, John.
Carlos, you have some marked in yellow and some in orange or red, and you said new street segments for the yellow. Those are all existing streets. Are you saying that they've never been treated before with any other activity?
No, you know, this is basically a carryover from the last staff report that we brought to the council where we added that neighborhood in yellow. What it was is that neighborhood was the replacement for the deletion of Greenspot Road. So it's really just to delineate that neighborhood that is now part of this project.
The streets are included in the last
Yes, sir.
Round. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad to see Atlantic Avenue east of Boulder on there finally.
Yes, so right. That's on there. Yeah, you're right. And
that's
that was
an old neighborhood that needs a little help.
Yeah, that was Thank part you. Of the Sector D, but because it didn't get done, it got folded into this project.
Thank you. That's all I have now.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Anyone want to entertain a motion?
A motion.
Second.
And a second. Roll call, please.
It's a legislative.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm so used to doing roll call on Zoom it. These meetings are confusing me. Okay, we'll move on to item number 6, the construction management and inspection services for the bid.
Yes, so this is basically a continuation of the same project. So essentially, with this project now proceeding to the construction phase, staff requested proposals from two of our on-call firms. That's Wildan Engineering and TKE Engineering to provide construction management, inspection, material testing, and surveying services. The proposals were reviewed by city staff, and Wildan was identified as the top-ranked firm. Staff negotiated the fee with Wildan. The fee is for $110,986. Staff found that Wildan's proposal is reasonable, and they have actually successfully performed other similar work for the city. So staff is recommending that City Council approve their proposal. That concludes my presentation for this item. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Carlos. Any questions of Carlos on this item?
I'm for approval.
I have a motion for approval.
Okay.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Thank you very much. Okay, move on to item 7, the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll try to keep my report brief tonight. Just to bring
a very brief meeting.
Yeah, yeah. Try to just bring you up to date on a couple things. The Safe Route to School project that's currently under construction continues. The construction of curbs, gutters, driveways, sidewalk, infill paving has been completed on McKinley Avenue between 9th Street and Baseline. The in-pavement lighted crosswalks have also been completed at the intersections of Baseline and Valeria and Church Avenue and Norwood. And construction is underway to complete the street improvements on the north side of 9th Street between Cunningham and Hillview. And it's anticipated that all of the work will be completed by mid-November of this year. And these Safe Route to School projects benefit Lancashire and Thompson Elementary Schools. The city has hired a new planning technician, and this position backfills our former planning technician, who is now our assistant planner, who replaced Sal. So we have hired Angelica Martinez, and she'll be our new planning technician. She's actually a resident of the city of Highland.
Nice.
On October 19th, the Planning Commission conducted a freeway sign flag test for the proposed project at the town center on the north side of Baseline between Buckeye and 210. This is going to be a site for a proposed El Pollo Loco and Habit Burger Grill. It's right across the street from Starbucks. So it's making its way through the process. And just an update on the Coronavirus Recovery Fund business grant. The city has now received 85 applications for
wow.
that program. The Emergency Mortgage Assistance Program, we have still not received an application for those funds. And the city has opened up the grocery delivery program to any eligible persons now, irregardless of age. It's no longer just limited to seniors now.
How's
that
doing?
Trying to spread that out. We've received 21 inquiries
okay.
Right now, and we've approved 13. So there's six pending, two were declined. And Burtec, I know you guys always love this. So far through October 21st has done 110 illegal dump pickups in the public right-of-way. for 21 days. It's crazy. Sheriff's Department, from October 11th to the 24th, they responded to 1,717 calls for service, made 131 reports, and made 75 arrests. So they've been busy. As far as COVID is concerned, just real briefly, the numbers were kind of trending down San Bernardino County, and they've taken a little rise back up slightly. The hospitalizations were dipping pretty good, and then they kind of came back up a little bit again, and now they're kind of dipping back down again. So we're kind of doing this. LA and Orange County both are down, but for some reason San Bernardino County had a little tick back up again. Nothing major, but it's now starting to correct itself again. But there's been no changes. Significant changes in policies or anything at this point in time that would impact the city. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Just to follow up on appreciate your report from the PD and the short stint of a sweep that we had and the update on that. Those were great results.
Yeah, and that was all funded by the county.
That was awesome.
County overtime.
Good job, you guys. Okay. Appreciate that report. We'll move on to any council comments.
Oh, I just want to announce it rained in my district yesterday.
It did? Wow.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it with District 5. It also rained in my district, too. Madam Mayor, as you can see tonight, a very short meeting. And we're going to go dark in next meeting in November.
Well, I'm going to ask December. The council. Well, we're going dark in December. I was going to ask the council for Thanksgiving week. We've been able to move things around to where we've been able to move items up to the first meeting in November, or moved it back to the first meeting in December. So I know a lot of people like to travel that week of mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. So I wanted to check with the council to see if you wanted to go dark. A lot of agencies do the week of Thanksgiving. We've been, like I said, we've been able to move things around. So if that's the desire of the council, we could go dark for that second meeting in November.
I think the council would probably.
Actually, yeah, that would benefit me. That now that I share, my younger brother is actually graduating from boot camp around that week. And so that would definitely benefit me from that.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so if that's the desire of the council,
sounds
we can
like
go dark.
That's then,
yeah. Yeah, to me, Joe, it doesn't make any difference one way or the other, but I think it's only appropriate if we can do that. And then have staff have some time for the families as well, rather than sitting here.
Appreciate you guys working things around that.
And what I would propose, Madam Mayor, is that since our agendas seem to be very short lately, that we take another look at whether we ought to have our council meetings once a month rather than twice a month. It would save staff time and some money for us. And I would suggest, if it's okay with you, that we appoint an ad hoc to look at that again and come back to the council and see if what the pros and cons are and if the council wants to do it.
Is this something we want to do right now, or do we want to wait till the first? I'm okay with appointing an ad hoc committee. I don't have any problem with that. Is this something we want to tackle right now?
Well, we could begin the process. You mm-hmm. know, it's not something that's going to happen right away, but
I can appoint an ad hoc tonight, can't I?
Anticipating all kinds of activity next year, so.
Woohoo! So, why don't, are you interested in serving on this ad hoc committee?
Sure.
Okay. John, do you want me? I have no problem sitting on it, so I'll appoint Larry and I on the, unless you're dying to serve on it.
No, I'll go ahead and take on that.
Okay.
I will.
Okay. So, Anna Ellie and Larry, I'll have you down as the ad hoc committee. And any other comments?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to remind everyone that the Veterans Day event is on the 6th.
Saturday
the 6th, starting at 1:30. And so if everyone gets that opportunity to go out, this would be our first inaugural one. And then also I wanted to thank Carlos and Larry and you guys for always being responsive when people call you, meeting with them, and accommodating their needs. Whether we think it's right or wrong, we still go through the process, and I appreciate that. Other than that, we have no in memories of today. So with that, I just want to say thanks for coming out, and we'll adjourn our meeting.